Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
True Crimers, welcome to Break the Case. I'm your host. I'm Jen Coffendaffer. Very excited to be here this morning to talk to you about the Lindsay Clancy case. I really think it is so important to go over this list of medicines that were filled. And while it's been out there, nobody has really talked about them, at least that I've seen, and really taken a deep dive. So we're going to do that. Now, I want to give you the perspective I'm coming from. I'm not a psychiatrist, obviously. I'm not a doctor. I don't have a PhD in research. I was a tactical medic and worked doing rotations in hospitals, on the ambulance, at the fire department, responding to different calls, and spent 6 months in that training. And then also worked as a, or studied for 6 months at Baptist, or excuse me, at, yes, at Bap, no, at Methodist Hospital, sorry, in Dallas, Texas, which is a huge trauma center just behind Parkland Hospital there in Dallas. So I speak from that standpoint, and also from the standpoint, like many of you, that might have relatives, might have friends, might have different individuals who had to take or were on different variations or on some of these medications. And then also want to talk from the standpoint of my personal experience. I've never taken any of these on the list, but I do want to talk about when I was hospitalized for 3 weeks at Zell Lipsky in Dallas when I went into anaphylaxis and the medications that they use to reverse anaphylaxis. It took about 3 weeks of high medication and what that did and how indebted I am to a friend of mine for helping me really get through that. So I want to talk a little bit about all of that, but we first have to understand what medications she was prescribed, what medications were filled, and then we're going to go even further and take a step and we're going to look at what medications were actually in her at the time that she committed the murder of her three children. So this is the list. I know it's super tiny. We're going to go through them one by one and explain what each of them are. All right. I want to start with hydroxine, which you see on there. It's also known as Atarax. Now, this is an antihistamine. So as you see it here on the list, just understand that's an antihistamine. So, and I will tell you, antihistamines such as Benadryl and others in huge doses can have a huge effect. But I just want you to know that this is one of the drugs that was prescribed and fulfilled. So not exactly a psychotic or SSRI or anything along that line. So, okay, hydroxine, trazodone. That is an antidepressant, and it does have different side effects that go with it. I want to make it clear because I've seen a lot of misinformation out there about black box and these black box warnings. They do not apply in any of these medications to individuals who were the age of Lindsay Clancy. These medications, none of them had black box warnings. For individuals her age. That's typically individuals, women who are younger and who aren't fully developed, and there are warnings on those medications, but not in her case. So each one of these did not have a warning, even though that tried to be blown up because there was a black box warning. You have to take it a step further, not for people Lindsay Clancy's age. And again, I should recap that Lindsay Clancy is currently on trial for the murder of her three children. What is not disputed by the defense, and in fact, she and her husband, now ex-husband, Patrick, in their own words, are litigating with different medical providers regarding a civil suit. They're seeking millions, basically blaming the individuals who treated her for her murdering her three kids. What also is not in dispute is that she did it. She says she did it. There's no indication that Patrick did it, even though you're going to see a lot of online gibberish. I think it's those same people who seek to use the idea of such that Patrick is guilty and Patrick actually murdered these and set her up to admit this. When you see that, those are conspiracy theorists. They strive to build their following. They strive to do this because they're trying to make a name for themselves or, you know, expand their following. I find it all really sad. Seen it in every single case. People going after Dylan Mortensen in the Idaho case. People going after the witnesses in the Karen Reed case. It just doesn't matter. They take non-facts, non-truth, and spin it in a way that they get, I saw one, a million views, basically blaming Patrick. Now, listen, I fully believe that Patrick's inaction might have contributed to her action. In other words, that he did not, with everything going on, with all these prescriptions laying around, with everything she told him that she wanted to harm them. And somebody said, Jennifer, the exact words were, that she thought that they were going to be harmed. Yeah, by her. You know, let's not mince words in this case. Let's keep it real and factual with what really happened. And I think he even downplayed that. You might ask, why is Patrick on her side? A lot of people point that out. Oh, even the ex is on her side. You know why? They are embroiled in multi-million dollar lawsuit. He's already through GoFundMe made, you know, well over 1.7 million. Now, I know part of that was spent on a playground. I know he also ran, he's done some charity things. He set up a foundation. I have no idea out of the 1.7 or so, what has gone toward that. I have no idea. You would hope all of it, but I doubt that. And now her parents, of course, they are also seeking money. They're seeking $2 million. And it's not for lawyers' fees or anything like that. They say they're seeking it for personal use. It specifically talks about that to kind of put them, their lives back together after, I guess, what they've been through with their daughter and for her too. So nevertheless, I you can tell by my tone, I find this all very sad. That's just me. I see people, in fact, one account that I actually really like, pushing hard to fundraise and get $2 million for Lindsay Cansey. She murdered her kids. We can discuss and argue and debate whether, you know, the devil made her do it, you know, in other words, these drugs or being in some sort of psychosis. That can be argued. She murdered these kids. And I just, anytime, this is just me, I see some sort of money being made in this way, millions of dollars, possibly going to the murderer. It's really hard for me to stomach. That's just me. You might disagree. I'm going to talk about next about Lorazam. That's an anxiety medication. It's also really commonly known as Ativan. Now, you might remember in testimony and in that she told the providers, she said, listen, I'm addicted to Ativan. That's what she had to say about it. The provider said, there were really no signs of that. But nevertheless, that was the drug that she seemed to be. She was worried about all of them. So she told the providers this. And I think for me, I know you guys aren't going to like this. I think in part it was a setup to explain why she wasn't taking all these medications. She didn't do anything as was prescribed, as you're going to see here. But nevertheless, when we talk about this, I think it's what we're trying to do is just explain what each of these are. We've gone through hydroxyzine, which is strictly an antihistamine, trazodone, which is an antidepressant, lorazepam, which is Ativan, anxiety medicine, sertraline, which is commonly known as Zoloft. And really, when you do, it's also called a SSRI. It basically regulates and increases your serotonin levels. Again, as I mentioned in the front, I'm speaking just from my education as a tactical medic, and then also speaking in some regards from watching friends, relatives, so forth, who are on these medications. And in combination with, I'm going to share a story. I've never taken any of these, but I do have a medical type story that I think many of you will be able to relate to. So anyway, sertraline, which is Zoloft, is that SSSR. Again, it's an antidepressant. And I think what's most interesting about this one is it's literally the go-to in psychiatric medicine. In medicine that your primary care doctor gives to you. So all of this is, I want everybody to understand, because I needed to understand, what are all these medications? I believe there's 13. And again, remember, this list isn't what she was taking. This list is what she was prescribed for multiple providers. And again, we can argue about that too. Was she doctor shopping? Was she pharma shopping? Was she looking for that magic pill? Or was she just jumping from one provider to another and one medication to another because she wasn't getting relief? There are a lot of different ways to look at that. We're going to present both sides of the pancake here, but we have to understand what we're looking at first. Okay, the next one, diazepam. That is also known as Valium. And you can see out of all the prescriptions, this is the one that is the most filled. Okay. So diazepam, which is Valium. And Valium goes back to the 1960s, by the way. You know, even if you watch the show, which I always loved when I was young, Bewitched, right? They talk about Valium. It was like everybody was on Valium. I could tell you that back in those days, in the 60s and I think even the 70s, a lot of stay-at-home moms were on Valium. They used it to relax at night. And the reason, though, Valium was always supposed to only be used as for dealing with different depressive moods and anxious moods of women. And again, particularly, it was taken by a lot of stay-at-home moms, still probably is. It's not supposed to be used long-term. And that is something that Zoloft and some of these other medications can provide relief for purportedly long-term. Valium was supposed to be short-term because Valium can be very addictive. And I thought it was very interesting. If you look at the refills, the number one refilled medicine by her is diazepam. So as you look at this list, I find that very interesting. Bupropion, this is, again, a dopamine serotonin interplay with this medicine. It's also called a Buspar. But again, this is a very, a medicine for being anxious and antidepressant and so on. So it's another powerful medicine. I think she only got one prescription of this. A mood stabilizer is Lamotrigine. It's also called Subtamil and Lamictal. Sorry if I butchered these a little bit, but nevertheless, this is normally used for people who are suffering from being bipolar. So I know lithium is the number one. I have a very dear friend from childhood. We dated. He's a doctor, wonderful human. He was bipolar and remains on lithium, which is, again, a mood stabilizer. And a lot of these medications, as we're going to get into, that they really talk a lot about how a mood stabilizer is critical when you're on some of these medications. So I found that very interesting. And we're going to get into what we're going to talk about both the prosecution and the defense, what they both say about these medications, how they put a completely different slant, as you might expect. And then so we're going to present both of those. And then I think, like I said, we're also, the most important thing is we're going to discuss what was really in her system out of all of these. It's, you're going to see it's less than half. And you're also going to see what dosages there are. Fluoxetine is another SSRI, serotonin, you know, booster, and it messes with your serotonin. Look, I can't imagine taking these. You know, maybe I just have decent levels of serotonin, like most people out there. But some people, they need their serotonin boost. Like, they're not things that make us laugh and make us happy and make life pleasant. They don't have it to the extent that others do. And so I think it's really important to denote whenever you start messing with your serotonin and trying to lift it up. I always say, and with all of these, there's warnings, right? What comes up must go down. I found no medicine except one. Ibuprofen is the only thing I take, because ibuprofen, at least for me, and I know it can mess with, other organs, if you take too much of it, but it doesn't have any side effects for me personally. So everybody's different with what you can take, but all of these have side effects. All of them do, so that has to be considered. She was also, you can see a prescription there for Zolpidem, which is Ambien. That's the trade name. We all know what Ambien is, I think. I tell you where Ambien was used a lot. I didn't use it, but I had so many friends in the FBI used it, particularly those who traveled overseas a lot and were on different time zones, right? They would go and do stints in the Middle East, particularly on the SWAT team. Those SWAT guys were over there a lot doing different missions. And those missions, so that they could sleep and get on course, I know a lot of them that took Ambien. And actually, I know somebody I was really close to that really probably got hooked on Ambien and had to slowly wean themselves off of it. So I know Ambien can cause a lot of problems. My mom, I've talked about this before, my whole family, right, we're insomniacs. And so my mom, I know, tried Ambien, and she said she woke up in the middle of the night and was sleepwalking. And I found it interesting because my mom sleptwalk when she was young, and then when she had Ambien, so she stopped taking it, obviously. My daughter has always sleptwalked. She up until the age of, she might still be doing it, but certainly up until the age of 22, 23 or so. And I've known other sleepwalkers, and it's crazy. I mean, my daughter, I've seen her climb curtains. They do all sorts of things that are very interesting. And so I wondered if the reason Ambien affected my mom that way was because she was a sleepwalker in her youth. I don't know, but I just found it very interesting that I'm reading a lot of reports now that people who took Ambien sleepwalk. I found that very interesting. But anyway, she filled also, if you look on there, it's Zolpidem, and that is Ambien when you see it. And these, again, are the names, not necessarily the prescription names that are known. So I thought it was really important to spell out what each of these are. Mirtazapine is an anti-anxiety. It's given to a lot of people with OCD. It's to stop that anxiousness and that anxiety. So you'll see that that was filled on here as well. Clonazepam. This is a benzodiazepine. It's Xanax, everyone. That is what it's known for. I know many of you, I have no doubt, have also know people, or you yourselves have taken these. And typically, again, this is for somebody that it's meant for a quick relief. It is not meant to be taken for years, but basically to help people deal with a particular something they have going on at that point in their life. You'll also find that in terms of Lindsay Clancy, and I've gone through all of them, by the way, the reason that you see such a long list, and it seemed like my list was shorter, is because essentially they, you know, you'll see repeats of a lot of these. But nevertheless, I went over each of these and kind of what that medicine is used for. And then we're going to talk about what she was actually on. And again, just to reiterate, I'm coming at you today, not as a PhD, not as a doctor, but as a tactical medic. And then also throwing in a little bit of the actual just personal experience with friends on these. I've already explained I've never taken any of these, but we all have friends, family, and so forth. So nevertheless, I want to put this up really quick that just came in. You know, this is the thing. For those of you who have followed me, especially since really kickstarted the channel in February of this year after Nancy Guthrie. Prior to that, we did, you know, maybe a show a month, you know, very few shows. And now we try to do a daily show that we try to put together for everyone. And for those of you who have followed me, for those of you who know me, follow me on X, and I appreciate this comment. Look, I'm too old. I've already had my career. I'm currently involved in a big career as an expert witness. The only thing I have is my reputation. And I'm going to examine facts and look at them from the lens of an FBI agent. And that lens is not going to be colored or influenced by what the popular view is. I know most of you know that. So I'm never, even though I see what's happening, I know right now, if I said, this poor woman, I think she was in psychosis, it's terrible. I just imagine the number of followers I would pick up, but I could never do that because I don't believe that. I don't believe that from the facts. Nevertheless, I want to present both sides of the pancake because that's been what I see the facts to show, it doesn't mean that I don't have respect for those who see it a different way. But nevertheless, this show will hopefully be fairly neutral on most things. In other words, I'm just trying to present all these medications. And then this is the big part. Let's understand what she really was taking. And I'll tell you, a lot of people believe, I mean, the two sides of this are, as I just mentioned, right? The one side is she was desperate. She tried this one. It didn't work. Now she's moving on to this one. Now she's trying this one. She filled all these prescriptions that she was getting from all these different ones, right? But the flip side of that is, and I just want to present it, was this part of the plan? Multi-providers, not giving all her background information, not letting the providers know about each other, not being honest and forthright about everything. Pharma shopping, I'm just saying this is the other side. Is this long list, is this important for her to know if she wanted to get off the hook, right? Is both sides. So these are the facts. These are the facts in terms of what was prescribed. But let's look at what she had in her system. And we must remember how few pills were gone from any of these bottles. But to me, it's not really that. In other words, I know that they did a good job of looking at each bottle, what was taken, what wasn't. I want to know what was in her system the day of. So let's look at that. Give me one second here. I've got to go to my notes on this, which are on my phone, not on my notepad. which I actually probably should have rewritten them on my notepad. Just grab these really quick because it's really critical to understand what was in her system. All right, here we go. Let me make sure I have the right list. Okay.
In today's world, planning ahead isn't always top of mind, but not having life insurance can leave families facing difficult financial uncertainty during already emotional times. In many cases, loved ones are left managing expenses, debts, or long-term obligations without a clear plan in place. Life insurance is one way to help provide financial security and support when it's needed most. That's where Ethos comes in. Ethos makes getting life insurance fast and easy, and it's 100% online. You can get a quote within seconds, apply in minutes, and even get same-day coverage. There's no medical exam. You just answer a few simple health questions online, and coverage options are flexible with up to $3 million available and some policies starting at around $30 a month. Ethos has also earned strong customer feedback with a 4.9 out of 5 star rating on Trustpilot based on more than 5,500 reviews as of August 2026. Help protect your family with life insurance through Ethos. Get your instant quote today at ethos.com. That's ethos.com. Application times and rates may vary.
Moro Casino. Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
In her system was Seroquel. And Seroquel, as we discussed, is an antipsychotic. That's the popular name is Seroquel, an antipsychotic. And she had 10 times lower of any sort of toxic or lethal concentration of it. But she was double dosed with it. So she didn't have a single dose in her body at the time. She had a double dose. So nothing that could cause her harm, you know, cause her, shouldn't certainly not throw her into some psychotic rage. But certainly she had Seroquel in her system and it wasn't a single dose. It was a double dose. All right. She had Lamictal in her system. Again, that is a mood stabilizer. Let me talk a little bit about that. A mood stabilizer, and definitely in her system, but to a very small and minimal amount. So benzodiazepines, we've talked about that. Did she have any? All she had in her urine and blood screen were traces of lorazepine, nortazepine, oaxapam, and temazepam, which are basically Ativan and Valium. Trace dosages. So essentially, at some point she had taken it, but many of these medications have half-lives. They don't just come in and go out. They come in and they hang around for a little while. So she had very minimal, what was testified to as being trace amounts. Now, I think this is really important because these to me are the most, I really believe, some of the strongest medications that she was prescribed, but just trace amounts. So of that huge list we just looked at, I just mentioned which she had trace amounts of. So nothing that would affect you, something that was on its way out. She had no alcohol. She had no amphetamines. She had no cocaine. She had no fentanyl. She had no marijuana. And she had no opiates. I think it's important to also discuss that component. So she wasn't hooked, it would seem, on any other items. And one of the psychiatrists talked to that about her. You know, that psychiatrist really got beat up. I mean, all of them got beat up. And it's never fun when you're on the stand getting beat up. I mean, that psychiatrist, and I thought the judge lost control of that, wasn't even able to finish her comment without being cut off. I mean, the defense attorney, and I think he's doing a good job advocating for her, but by the same token, I think he is very difficult to listen to because of how he beats up these witnesses and doesn't allow them to answer. And that's on the judge too. It's really bad. Give you one example. One of the psychiatrists, or actually I think this was, yeah, it was the psychiatrist. She was talking about how she, meaning Lindsay, did not have a particular symptom. But she wrote in it something to the effect of no signs of one symptom and then did a comment of the other symptom. And so the defense attorney said, see, you're saying she had this symptom. And she said, no, my no applied to both of the items behind it. And anyway, it was really something. To watch that exchange, because I totally understood what she was doing. She was shorthanding it. But the defense attorney just hammered her. And I felt so bad for her in a sense, because just let them testify to their truth. And, it's fine if you want to, then question again, but at least let them get their words out. I thought he's been really ugly at doing that. I don't know how that was perceived by you all or by the jury, but there were multiple times where these medical professionals could not even get a word in edgewise. It was really a state, and I'm surprised the judge let this happen, where, in my opinion, the defense attorney was testifying. Where you see him just go on a complete filibuster instead of asking a question. I think the prosecution should have objected and said, is there a question in our future? And then also, I think the judge should have warned him and said, listen, you can't testify. You can't be up here saying what you think. You need to ask these questions. So Lori says this, and I touched on this a little bit earlier. She said she didn't want Ativan because she was worried it would be addictive. And yet, look at how much she refilled the Ativan. But nevertheless, in terms of what was in her system, only a trace amount of Ativan was in her system. So she did a good job. She fulfilled the prescription, but she didn't take it. Let me just make sure I went through all of them again. Just trace amounts of 1, 2, 3, 4 of the benzodiazepines, which included Ativan and Valium. So just trace amounts of those. We talked about the excluded substances. She had Lamictal, which is that mood stabilizer that I talked about. It's also an anticonvulsant, by the way, which I found very interesting, but it was in her system in normal, quote, therapeutic ranges. Remeron, which is another antidepressant, it was found in her system at standard therapeutic levels. Trazodone, which is an antidepressant, it was found in normal therapeutic levels. That's 1, 2, 3. Seroquel was found in as a double dose. They said it was 10 times lower than any toxic or legal concentrate, but still a double dose. And again, we talked about Lamictal, which is that mood stabilizer. So that was what was in her system. Now, I want to comment on this a little bit because I just can't imagine, but I'm ultra, ultra medicine um, uh, problematic. There's 285, I have this whole list that I have to give the doctor, of medications I'm allergic to. It's ridiculously long. And so I'm terrified of medicine. I don't do well with it, any medicine except ibuprofen. I talked about a little bit earlier, and this show is not about me, but I just want to, for all of those who have experienced bad issues with doctors and overprescribing things like that, I talked about how I was in on a, or certain things I'm really deathly allergic to, and one of them are all of those anti-nausea drugs. So things like Reglan and any drug for to make you not throw up that causes me to go into anaphylaxis and dystonia. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen anybody dystonic, but what they do is their whole body freezes. Your every muscle in your body is frozen straight. And your head goes back and it's frozen and your jaw is frozen open. So you can't speak. You can kind of, I was always like, it was horrible. Phenegrin, another medicine that you guys might've heard of. These are normally prescribed. The reason I was prescribed it was because I had surgery after a trampoline accident and I was on a, they wanted to make sure I didn't get any infection, and all those medicines make me sick and they make me throw up. Like I said, I just don't do good with any kind of medicine. So they put me on Reglan, even though I gave them the list because I've known this since I was 14 years old and was hospitalized, that I cannot take anything with phenothiazine in it is the big overarching drug. Nevertheless, they gave me Reglan and I took it for probably a week and I was absolutely in full anaphylaxis, rushed to the hospital. I was there 3 weeks. This is my point on this. To make sure I didn't die at that situation, they OD'd me, which they said they were going to have to do, on Benadryl, which is an antihistamine. And she has an antihistamine on her list there. But just to get me out of, I mean, it was horrible. And I'll never forget when they gave me that first bolus intravenously of Benadryl. It was almost like my whole lungs and everything, something came out of me. I mean, I went like that and just spewed out the ability to breathe again because I couldn't breathe. And they kept me there for 3 weeks at Zale Lipschi. And I was on so many intravenous drugs, antihistamines, and I didn't really realize how bad I was. And my whole family, my husband, my family, everybody was there coming in to see me, parents, everybody. And it wasn't until this friend of mine named Susan came in, who doesn't see me, hadn't seen me every day, right? She might see me once or twice a month. She came in and she saw me. And I know I was a zombie. And she said, "What have they done to you?" And I remember I could barely talk. I could barely think. And she had this conference. She took over. She called the medical doctor. She wanted my parents there. She wanted my husband there. And she said, "Look at her. She's just an absolute zombie." So anyway, I just want to say that I understand that these medications, to the point of ODing, which is what they said they had to do to get all of that, what I was, the allergens out of my system. I truly do understand that these types of medications can have horrible effects on the body. I get that. But I want to keep it to the facts of what little on this list she had in her. And the only one that was anywhere over the therapeutic level was Seroquel. However, we can't just deny the fact that they were in concert with each other, right? And whenever you have these in concert, so you got Seroquel, which is an antipsychotic, you got Lamictal, which is that mood stabilizer. You have mirtazapine, which is also called Remeron, an antidepressant, trazodone, an antidepressant. The benzos she had just, was getting out of her system. I can't even count those because they said they were just trace amounts. But nevertheless, I don't think we can say it didn't have any effect on her. But this is the question. This is the question. Could they cause her to go into this psychosis? Now, I have really enjoyed and had never watched him before, Dr. G, on this. And this is somebody that has the appropriate psychiatric and medical background. And we're going to have a person with the same medical background, very similar, on our show Wednesday at 10. And I'm already going to tell you, and I might have to change that time. But stay tuned. It will be Wednesday. I know she doesn't have the same viewpoint as me. I can tell by my brief discussion with her. And that's okay, because a lot of people have the viewpoint that she was like Andrea Yates. And people want to say that. I have a huge problem with this comparison. Huge problem with it. Andrea Yates had been diagnosed far earlier with schizophrenia, with a whole laundry list of psychosis, psychotic. She had serious mental issues for a long time. This was a true case, I believe, with what she did by drowning her five children, of hearing voices, being told what to do, because she had been hearing voices for years. This was a woman that is literally the textbook image, profile, background of somebody that would go into a psychotic rage. That's her. And her background absolutely is textbook for what you would expect could happen to somebody with her sort of background. I also want you to take a quick look, and I think I have a photo here. If not, I'll have to snag one. Yeah, I do. So look at Lindsay. Have you seen her in court? Hair looks good. Face looks good. She's put together, everyone. For those of you who watched the two Andrea Yates trial, which this happened in Texas and in Houston, and something I will never forget. She was originally, Andrea Yates was convicted. And then later the conviction was overturned. She had in 2002, I believe it was, her second trial. I believe it was 2002. Don't hold me to that. It might've been 2006, but nevertheless, the important point about that is she was found not guilty by reason of insanity. That made a lot of sense to a lot of people. She had postpartum psychosis. She was completely had the history, and exactly what people who have postpartum psychosis typically have in their background. Absolutely cannot be compared to Lindsay Clancy. Cannot compare Andrea Yates to Lindsay Clancy. Lindsay Clancy had no history of being schizophrenic, of being psychotic, of being mentally completely unsound. Andrea Yates should have never had those children. I mean, at one point, she lived on a bus with those five children. She absolutely was not supported. They didn't have the money. If I could find a case that is absolutely completely juxtaposed, that is being compared right now, it would be Andrea Yates. Psychotic, mental issues, five kids on a bus, not right when this happened, but before that, not money, no nannies, no help. Look at her. She could care less what she looked like in court. She wasn't brushing her hair. If you saw her in court, she was somber. She looked cuckoo. She just would stare down. I remember one point only that I can ever remember, kind of a quiet sob as they went over her kids. You know, I think the photos of her kids being dead. And that was just a quiet sob. She could care less what anybody think. I want to play a clip and we'll talk about it on the other side of Lindsay Clancy.
Types of injuries such as bruising or abrasions. And what about injuries?
All right, counsel, could... Want me to take a break this time, all right?
Court, all right. George, close your notebooks. Place them on the chairs, please. Just wait for me.
Okay. There are many people, not just me, Dr. G, and many others that are professionals in body language, in studying how people in a courtroom setting act, what we've seen from our experiences. This, in my view, this whole breakdown stuff is so performative. And this is why. This is why. Typically, when you see somebody who legitimately is crying and legitimately upset, yes, they're sad. Yes, they cry. Yes, they show tears. They even shake. But you don't just start getting louder when nobody's paying attention. It's just very, very unusual. You, in other words, to me, when I saw this, it's like, yeah. That is performance, ladies and gentlemen. That is what you see with people who perform. In all my interviews, in 38 years of doing criminal cases, 25 in the Bureau, guys, this is... She is performing. That's my opinion. That's my opinion on that. And I'm not alone when you talk to the professionals on it. I want to talk about this too. So I don't know how many of you saw or recall this. Particular photo. It was a trial exhibit. Couple of things stood out to me. The wine glass stood out because of what it says on that, and because it doesn't seem like there's wine in it. And we know she didn't have any traces of alcohol. So I truly believe, water it looks like in there. What I found interesting though about this knife, look at this. This is a butcher knife. This is what you use to cut up a chicken, to cut pork chops. This is a meat butcher knife. Now, this is where I'm going to infuse my experience. with people who commit self-harm, like she purportedly attempted, right? First of all, her self-harm on her wrists, even being a nurse, she cut the wrong way. I find that very objectionable, meaning I'm not convinced that that was legitimate. Very superficial wounds in both places. When you see people really wanting to take their lives, they are absolutely more committed. But this is the big thing. They don't use butcher knives. The statistics, it's something like, and you can quote me on this within a parameter, over 60% use kitchen like paring knives. You know, a small knife. Can you imagine this big butcher knife here? It's so silly. They use paring knives. They use smaller knives. And then about, I want to say, 20-something percent use razor blades. And then a smaller percentage of that use things like a box cutter. But the big majority is you go and grab that kitchen paring knife. You're not dealing with this big knife. I'm just trying to say this is not typical. I actually couldn't find a case of a knife like this. You know, this is very important, something that she points out. I always love Miranda when Miranda's on here. Thanks for being here, Miranda. She didn't need to Google that. She is a nurse. I'm a tactical medic with far less training than nursing, what nurses have to go through, 4 years, 3 years of medical training. She knows right where that carotid is. Why she Googled that? It's performative. It's like, why do you have a butcher knife? Why do you have a big list of medicines? Why do you have all these medicines that you filled but you decided not to take?
In today's world, planning ahead isn't always top of mind. But not having life insurance can leave families facing difficult financial uncertainty during already emotional times. In many cases, loved ones are left managing expenses, debts, or long-term obligations without a clear plan in place. Life insurance is one way to help provide financial security and support when it's needed most. That's where Ethos comes in. Ethos makes getting life insurance fast and easy, and it's 100% online. You can get a quote with in seconds, apply in minutes, and even get same-day coverage. There's no medical exam. You just answer a few simple health questions online, and coverage options are flexible with up to $3 million available and some policies starting at around $30 a month. Ethos has also earned strong customer feedback with a 4.9 out of 5-star rating on Trustpilot based on more than 5,500 reviews as of August 2026. Help protect your family with life insurance through Ethos. Get your instant quote today at ethos.com. That's ethos.com. Application times and rates may vary.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
You know, I went into this case absolutely open-minded. You know, what are we going to see here? Do we have an Andrea Yates? We don't have an Andrea Yates. I've talked about how rare postpartum psychosis is. I use quotes from the Cleveland Clinic, which show one to just over, I've seen it actually lower than 1.46 up to, I think it was 0.21. Of all women ever to go into psychosis, and it's right after they have their child. Right after. No more than weeks. And of those, that teeny, teeny percentage, 4% actually harmed their children. And those were the little ones. I can't find, other than Andrea Yates, I think her youngest was 6 months. That's all I can find. Yeah, Lori, that's very interesting. How could she avoid the carotid? Now that is interesting, because even as a tactical medic, I can tell you right where the carotid is, just grab right here. Oh my God, I teach this in class and we work a lot with carotid strangulation so people can feel how it feels in class as opposed to the first time being on the streets when somebody grabs them from behind. But nevertheless, the carotid is easy to find, but you're right. Where can I cut to avoid the carotid? You know, that's a very good point. That's a very good point because, quite frankly, I couldn't tell you where could I do some minor cuts to avoid that. Somebody commented, I thought it was interesting. And again, to make my point again about this, this is not what you will see. I can't find it. It's a complete anomaly. But again, it's her grandioseness. I'm going to get a big butcher knife to do these fake little wounds. She should have researched what people really use to make it seem more real. I think it's very fair to compare because everybody else is. Lindsay is no Andrea Yates. From what I can see so far, she calculated, she planned. Who does this unless your husband asks you to? Hey, can you route that? I mean, they had gone to this restaurant before. She didn't Google it to the normal Google. No, she took that step further so she could see the time frames spelled out, everyone. She planned it. Now, this is a good question, and I've seen this a lot. Thank you, Barushka. My sister's name is Barushka. My youngest sister. I had to really think of all of our orders. My sister Barushka, who is named after a character in a Russian novel, even though we're Puerto Rican. So funny. What was her motive? She spells out her motive. If you look at her, and I did a long tweet on this, if you look at her entries, she was depressed. She had had it with the children. That's how it comes off to me. They were difficult. When you think of somebody like her, and again, I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm looking at actions and I'm looking at words and I'm looking at testimony and I'm looking at what we have on the table. And don't forget, she Googled, can you help? I'm paraphrasing, a sociopath. Something like, can a sociopath be helped? I think she knew she was a sociopath. What are the characteristics of a sociopath? They are individuals who lose empathy. They act impulsively. They don't pay attention to rules and laws, such as thou shalt not kill. And they're all about them. And I think we see that with her. And I think she was struggling, can I be helped? Because she knew she was on the brink. Something that I found very interesting about her writing is it is all actually very organized. Even in her affirmations to herself. You know, I am a good mother. I am this. I am that. It's very organized. And the other thing is, it is all about her. So, Barushka, this answer is for you. And this is my belief. And when I say my belief, I say based on facts, but it's my opinion. It's my belief based on what I'm seeing here. Could she have been one of these mothers, and this happens a lot, that they have children and She's always been an overachiever. She's always won. She's a winner. She is, when I say a winner, she's good at everything she does. And a lot of her importance was based on, I believe, could she have children? Could she be a good mother? And we see this when she's going through all of this, and then she says she wants to have another one, a fourth child. But she caveats it with, but I better get a good psychiatrist first. You see how it's about her? Was her picture shambling in terms of her ability to not only be the best wife, to be the prettiest one in the room, to be, you know, to have money, to be successful in her career? And was that picture shambling because she wasn't, as she says, the mother she wanted to be? She talks a lot about it. She says, I can't be the mother to Callan that I was with her first two children. She specifically talks about that. You know, it's very interesting. Callan, she had to stop breastfeeding early. Callan, she's having all this trauma over getting him, you know, sleep trained, she calls it. I'm convinced kids actually train themselves to a degree, but nevertheless, I don't want to get into that discussion again because I probably have way different views than many of you out there on that. Now, my whole thing is parents do the best they can, and you know, I am so supportive of all parents and most parenting styles. But nevertheless, Callan was the one that seemed to really push her over the edge. Maybe she felt she was doing a good enough job early on with Cora and Dawson. But with Callan, she wasn't that, in her mind, that primo, amazing mom, super mom, doing it all. And that started to make her anxious. How can I keep up appearances? Everybody thinks I'm the best mom. Everyone thinks I'm the prettiest. Everybody thinks this. And it's breaking down. Remember when the father-in-law describes Thanksgiving? How she grabs Dawson and then the father-in-law makes an excuse. You got to watch that testimony. First of all, I think he soft sells it. And then he's kind of like, oh man, maybe I shouldn't have said basically she was rough with him. Oh, but you know, he's a pistol. You know, he can kind of be a pistol. I think she was very rough with these kids behind the curtain. I think she could have been emotionally rough with them. I don't think it would just went from, oh, you said, you know, everything's great, to strangling these kids to death. I think there were so many signs. I mean, not think, I know. We can see what she journaled. We know what the husband said, she said, and I think he soft-sold that again because they're in this multi, they have so much writing on this case. It's so sickening. It's hard for me to fathom how everybody is blaming everyone but Lindsay. The meds make me do it. Well, now we see how little meds she actually had. The psychosis does not fall in line at all with how postpartum psychosis happens and the people who are vulnerable to it. I want to keep in mind too, this wasn't the first time that she was having trouble and resorted to pharmaceutical help. She was on Zoloft when she was in nursing school. Now they say, oh, she didn't like to, you know, just speak in public or whatever. How many people don't want to do a speech and they go and get Zoloft? I think it was much more serious than that. But of course, they're downplaying all of that. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with if you're feeling anxious, if you're trying to get through nursing school, if you're worried you're not going to be able to make it, and so you put yourself on a medication to calm yourself. I'm just saying that this list shows me she was looking for a magic remedy. I also found it very interesting that there's a lot of things that other people do. They do yoga. They go to groups with other women who are struggling, like they're struggling, so that they can talk about it and they can seek help and they can understand that they're not doing anything wrong. So they can understand that their feelings are normal in a sense to have postpartum anxiety, which is what she described, right? I get that. This looks to me like shopping. Also, I really do wonder, why do you fill them all and not take them all? I don't know how much these are prescription. Say $30. Again, she had money. She had insurance. She had a nanny. She had a supportive husband. She had a supportive family. She had everything to help her. I truly feel so bad for all of the women who struggle, who have none of that. They're single moms. They don't have insurance. They're working at a restaurant, slinging hash, trying to make a living. And by the way, I was a waitress forever, all through high school. You know, I left home when I was only 17. So all those people who don't have anything that struggle with the feelings she had. She had everything. She wasn't honest with her providers. She wasn't forthright. I don't know, guys. It's hard. It's hard for me to see the other side when I look at everything. When I look at, hey, get me a bowl. What do you feel like eating from there? Oh, I need to see how long you're going to be gone. Don't forget to go by and get the Pedialax. Okie dokie. Listen, at the end of the day, the experts are going to have juxtaposing views, right? They're going to have juxtaposing views on this case. They're paid to have juxtaposing views, but that doesn't mean that they're not being honest with what they believe. For me, I can't, and I'm going to listen to our expert because I'm hoping somebody has some epiphany. But this weekend, I've done so much research. I talked in another live about the church scene with all those kids and thinking about this case. I've really been thinking probably way too much about this case. People say I'm not empathetic toward her. I am empathetic toward women who have postpartum depression. I'm empathetic for those who have postpartum anxiety. I am not empathetic to somebody who I believe staged this to look like that so she could strangle her children with her exercise bands. I'm sorry. It's what I see. This is the last picture when they were alive to give you a clear look. This was a struggle. Cora struggled. Dawson struggled. Dawson was number one to go. He was her toughest one, meaning her toughest one in life. And then Cora. So I want to talk about that really quickly. Do any of you have a two-story house? I want you right now. I'm literally looking outside. I'm going to show you. You ready? Hopefully you can see it. See, that's the second story. So the first story, that's the office. And then do you see that second story up there? Hoping you can see that. That's our second story. I don't know if you can see this. It's not a long way. I have jumped from second stories before, for sure. My son used to jump all the time from our second story window to sneak out at night. She did not plan on landing on her head slash neck. She did not plan on that. But to think you can't jump 20 feet, and don't get me wrong, as a medic, as a tactical medic, one of the biggest things we're taught is you can, if you fall from the height that you are tall, in other words, I'm 5'1", 5'2", on a good day with the right shoes on, you can actually, if you land long, wrong, you can be paralyzed. I have talked about a fellow SWAT operator who we were doing these maneuvers. I wasn't on this maneuver with him, but did the exact same training on these airplanes. And we were on airplane wings. He was doing it at another location. And he fell from an airplane wing, which is probably about that tall. And he landed on his neck and died. Huge, big SWAT operator. I understand that when you fall from heights, if you land wrong, you're in big trouble. Big trouble. She landed wrong. For anybody who has been through military training, who has been through SWAT training, who has, for whatever reason, needed to jump out of a two-story window, it's not that hard to do. You got to land right. You got to land on your feet. It's good if you can land and roll. It's not that high up. It's really not high up if you lower yourself down. If I lower myself down, now I'm at only 15 feet. I was trying to think of the highest up I've been. I bet you three stories, maybe 2 to 3 stories that I've lowered myself down and very carefully had to get down from. I don't think she ever had any inkling that she would land as she did and be paralyzed. I mean, what do you make of the fact, everyone? Please let me know in chat. I'm watching chat closely. I got my glasses on. What do you make of the fact that her family is seeking $2 million in a GoFundMe? When I say her family, that's separate from what he's already got 1.7 plus million. He wants over two, and then they want millions and millions from the medical providers. But what do you make of the fact that her parents are seeking 2 million. They've got over 700,000 last night. They may be way over that by now. I don't know. For, and it specifically says that it's going to be used for personal things, you know, to rebuild for her, whatever. What if it goes something like this? What if it goes something like this? She's found not guilty by reason of insanity. She's summarily institutionalized. Within a year or two, she proves that she's got herself together. If you read about anything to do with postpartum depression or postpartum anxiety, even postpartum psychosis, it is very treatable. There is nothing I've read that indicates anything other than that. All the experts agree on that. It is extremely treatable. In fact, I'll tell you this much, Andrea Yates, and I've been following her situation really closely. This year, again, she had another opportunity. You know who won't take the opportunity because her medical providers are basically saying she's okay now? It's her. Because she knows she is mentally unstable. And if she gets out again with the pressures of the world, maybe she gets married, maybe she gets pregnant. She knows. I can't do that. Actually, I don't know her age. If biologically, she could have a child. I had a child at 43, so, you know, it can happen. A lot of people have them later than me, too. My niece just had another, or is pregnant right now. I think she's 42, because she was laughing about it. I said, don't worry. We're going to be about tied in this. My whole point is that Andrea Nates knows. She doesn't even put in for the relief of getting out, which is another point. You know, people can find happiness there. That's what I always say about people like Brian Koberger, who didn't get the death penalty. Guess what? Every day he gets his vegan food, at least some of it, I'm sure he enjoys. He gets to see sunrises and sunsets. He gets to breathe the air. He gets to read the books he wants. He gets to watch television. He gets to watch shows about himself. Ooh. It's pretty spooky. Somebody sent me one of his playlists and I was right in the middle. It's like, ooh, spooky, spooky guy. He gets to live. So stay with me because I digressed a little bit. So say she gets out in a year or two. They say, listen, she's fine, as you would expect that to happen. Because she knows, because she's a nurse, that it's very easily treatable. And that, in fact, anybody who kills their eight-month-old is completely out of the norm. Totally not normal for a psychotic episode to happen. Out of the norm with therapeutic drug levels for every single thing she had in her body. She knows that it's very treatable, that most get over it after a couple of weeks. And you know who they want to kill? They want to kill the baby. And you know when it most often happens? Please look all of this up. I follow the Cleveland Clinic. That's typically who I go to for a lot of this information. This happens with the firstborn. Most often, within weeks, we're at 8 months with a third born. But I bring you back to what I said before. Was she failing at it in her own mind? So now, stay with me on this. She is cleared in a year or two, if it even takes that. And they say, you're free. You're not guilty of anything. You don't even have a felony for wringing the necks of your three children with your exercise band. No, you're out. You're good to go. She gets out. She's got millions in the bank between the GoFundMe. This is just the first GoFundMe I've seen for her and her parents. She gets out. That lawsuit, I don't know where that's going to go. I've seen both ways. I've seen some people saying there's no way, you know, she wasn't honest about what she told her provider. She provider shopped, she pharmaceutical shopped, she didn't follow the prescription she was given, that they're going to be in the clear. But you never know, they might settle. I don't know what will happen with that case. So she could get millions more from that. I don't know. But she gets out, even if she only has a million that they've left for her. I know a lot of people say she'll suffer. She's suffering now, right? With all the theatrics we saw in the courtroom. All that wailing, crying. You can just see the prosecutor going, oh my gosh. Anyway, I don't know. I could see her having kids again too. In any event, everyone, I've kept you a long time. This was very interesting to me, for me to understand, to go through all the details regarding these medications, to understand the testimony and watch it over and over again to understand exactly what she had in her body when she murdered them, which again, all therapeutic levels. One was a double dose, that was Seroquel, but still nothing 10 times less than what would be lethal or would normally cause anything like that. I'm looking at what happens if she's freed. I think this woman is brilliant. I think she's manipulative. And I think she wanted the world to see her as the perfect mother, the perfect nurse, the perfect looks, the perfect family. And when she couldn't, she murdered him. She feigned the attempts. She jumped out of a mere two-story window right there. See it right there? Not very far. And what she didn't count on, she landed wrong. And so now she sits paralyzed. Out in a year, maybe two. That's why they're collecting the $2 million. That's what my eyes see. Why do you do that? Why do you, I call it begging for money. Why do you beg for money? Listen, there's a lot of other GoFundMes that actually have amazing people that really need given to. This isn't them. All right, everyone. Tony Bruschi at noon. We're going over, I think, three different cases. I'm so excited. I missed Fun Friday, unfortunately. But we're going to do Manic Monday instead of Fun Friday. We'll do Fun Friday this week again. Love Tony and Robin Drink. So I know, Margaret, I agree. There's nothing good about this case because let me put up the people that I'm really advocating for. I'm advocating for Callan, Cora, and Dawson. Everyone on the internet is advocating giving money to millions, well, hundreds of thousands. I think it will become millions for the murderer. I'm thinking about these innocents. All right, everyone. Until next time, may justice be served for Cora, Dawson, and Callan.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.